This is Central Time. I'm Gene Purcell, filling in for Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Barrett. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll talk to the author of the Diary of a Wimpy Kid books about the latest installment in the series.
But first, we're talking about three new drunk driving bills that passed in the State Assembly today in Wisconsin. All three of these bills would toughen the penalties for those who drive drunk.
Frank Harris is with us, State Legislative Affairs Manager for Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Frank, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on the call.
So it sounds like the Assembly moved pretty quickly today. Three pieces of legislation on drunk driving and three of them passed.
Yeah, that is correct. And Matt is very thankful for that, especially one measure was just introduced last week and it already passed the Assembly. So that's a good sign of the movement in Wisconsin to reform the drunk driving law. And again, all three of these measures are very important in reforming the state's OWI law. We're very happy, but there's still, you know, more room for improvement.
Let's take the bills one at a time.
Sure.
One of them would require a first-time drunk driver to not only pay a fine, which they already do, I believe, but appear in court as well. Why is that a step, as you see it, in the right direction?
Well, again, drunk driving is a choice, and that bill demonstrates that drunk driving is a serious offense, and it's worthy of more attention than just a simple traffic infraction. And, you know, Matt believes that anybody who makes the choice to drive drunk has at the very least earned the opportunity to appear in court to face the consequences of their reckless decision.
How does Wisconsin stack up against other states when it comes to criminalizing first-time drunk driving?
Well, you know, most states have some sort of criminal penalty for a first offense, at least an option on the book where an offender could be charged with a criminal misdemeanor. And actually in Wisconsin, they can charge first-time offenders who drive drunk with a child passenger in a vehicle with a criminal misdemeanor on the first offense. But all in all, Wisconsin is really one state that does not, at least on the book, criminalize all first offenses.
Another bill of the three would raise the penalty for repeat offenders, making the fourth offense, as I understand it, a felony. Why is that needed when we get to the fourth offense?
Well, again, by the time someone's a repeat offender, there's a lot going on than just a slap at a wrist. There needs to be treatment, there needs to be incarceration, there needs to be an all-the-above approach. And that bill really gives prosecutors more tools in handling these repeat drunk drivers who either have four convictions in their lifetime or at least two convictions. And this closes a loophole where some repeat drunk drivers are simply falling through the cracks.
All right. And then the third one involves ignition interlocks. Now, first of all, what are those and how does this change the laws on the books?
Well, first of all, ignition interlocks, since 2006, Matt has been, this has been our top legislative priority in every single state. And an ignition interlock is tied into a vehicle's ignition of a convicted drunk driver. And an offender who's ordered on one of these, at least in Wisconsin, has to blow into the device to prove their sobriety. And then some come with cameras to verify the identity of the user. And then there's also rolling retests where the offender has to, again, is prompted given time to, again, blow into the device. So you just can't have a friend at a bar blow into it. So they become sophisticated devices, and they're very effective compared to the traditional sanction of just hoping for the best with license suspension alone. In Wisconsin, ignition interlocks, as of 2010, are required for all the repeat, all offenders who refuse, and first-time offenders of a 0.15 BAC or greater. And what Assembly Bill 467 does is it essentially closes a loophole where if an offender who was ordered on one of these interlocks by a judge was driving a non-interlocked vehicle and was pulled over by law enforcement, all law enforcement could do is just give him a driving on a suspended license violation. As opposed to a more serious offense such as driving without a court-ordered interlock. So that closes this loophole. And again, this is a very important bill because throughout the United States, Matt has been advocating tirelessly for more effective ignition interlock laws.
And that's been a criticism of laws so far. Won't they just drive somebody else's car? This tries to close that option.
Correct. Well, this helps close that. And it's not a silver bullet, but it's more effective than which is a current approach for first offenders at a 0.08 to a 0.14 blood alcohol level, which is just an occupational license where it's geographically restricted or time restricted. How in the world is that even enforced? And we hope that The next step that the Assembly takes is introducing legislation that gives an option for a first offender to go on an interlock restricted license and where they can drive wherever they want to, as opposed to the current approach, which is just a hope for the best occupational type license, which is, quite frankly, just we're not sure how that's being enforced.
We've got a caller on the line. Lauren in Ripon wants to talk about this. Lauren, hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. My understanding with over policy is that it's not effective, and creating these laws and continuing to do so and making them stricter and greater punishments doesn't seem to be making a difference. If you look at some of the data from Utah, they have very hardcore laws that don't prove to be that effective. So,
all right. Thanks for the call, Lauren. So the people who are out drunk driving are maybe not thinking things through well enough to be deterred by these stricter punishments, Frank.
Well, you know, again, thanks, Lauren, for that phone call. And you know, that's why Matt has been pushing for more effective penalties. And, you know, I'm from Wisconsin. I get told every time I come back there that, well, you know, you just enforce the laws that are on the books. Well, it's hard to enforce the laws on the books when there's conflicting loopholes throughout the statutes. And the bills that were authored by Representative Jim Ott that successfully passed the Assembly today closes those loopholes. And, again, what's also key is enforcement of these laws. And that's why law enforcement should be given the option, you know, to continue with saturation patrols, and there should be an adult discussion on sobriety checkpoints. And enforcing these laws is critical as well.
And that's, I wanted to talk about things that aren't in these laws today. Sobriety checkpoints is something you're looking for?
Well, that's going to be very difficult to advance in Wisconsin, but again, it's just educating on what exactly sobriety checkpoints are. And today we're really talking about, you know, these three bills, which are a very important improvement. But, you know, as it relates to other things that could help improve and make the law more effective in Wisconsin, it would be enforcing the current laws in the books. And one way to do that is effectively is through sobriety checkpoints. But it's going to be a difficult hill to climb. But what might be more possible is something that, such as the ignition interlock starting on the first offense at a .08, giving that option to a first offender to go on an interlock restricted license following an arrest as opposed to an occupational license. And if an offender's on an interlock license, they could drive wherever they want to, as opposed to the current law where they restricted to where they can drive, which is just unenforceable and unworkable.
One argument I've seen from some people is part of the solution to drunk driving in Wisconsin is to change our culture where it isn't just accepted as something we take for granted. Do you think stricter legal penalties, in addition to the penalties themselves, help change that culture?
Well, need to change laws in order to change culture. And I doubt it's the culture of Wisconsin that in 2011, 196 people were killed in drunk driving crashes. Crashes caused by somebody who made the choice to drive drunk and risk their lives as well as their fellow citizens' lives. So, in order to change culture, you need to change laws. And one way to do this is with a more effective approach. And these three bills are a better way to change these laws and also just continue with the discussion that always plan ahead and designate a non-sober drinking driver when you're going out. Use the taxpayer-funded Safe Ride program if it's available in your county. There's no reason to drive drunk today in 2013.
And just briefly looking ahead, these passed the Assembly today. Are you optimistic they'll pass the Senate and cross the governor's desk?
Well, Matt's hopeful that it'll move forward, that these three bills as well as I think there's another bill, Assembly Bill 180, will move forward in the Senate. Because, again, these are needed improvements that stakeholders and Representative Jim Ott and Senator Darling have worked very tirelessly on.
All right, Frank, thanks so much for joining us today.
Okay. Thank you.
That's Frank Harris, State Legislative Affairs Manager for Mothers Against Drunk Driving.